This free resource is from the 2013 Spiritual Leadership Conference in Lancaster, California, hosted by Pastor Paul Chapel in the Lancaster Baptist Church. This lesson is on striving for academic excellence with Dr. Jerry Goddard. Dr. Goddard brings over 35 years of experience in Christian college administration to West Coast Baptist College, and he oversees the college admissions process and the online master's degree program.
I went to a large public high school in Medford, Oregon. Anybody ever been to Medford? You have to go there on purpose, but large public high school and probably 600 students in the graduating class. Graduated in a year that I'll not divulge, but at our graduation, football was the big thing in our high school. And everything was about football and football players. And right in the middle of our graduation out at the football stadium, they stopped the ceremony. And just all of a sudden, everybody's wondering what was going on. And the principal and the school board president were kind of talking. And they said, well, we just have an announcement to make. Everybody knows Bubba. Bubba's the guard on our football team. But we've just discovered that Bubba is short a few credits and he can't graduate. And everybody started chanting, give Bubba a chance, give Bubba a chance, give Bubba a chance. So they got together and they said, okay. And they came back to the microphone and said, we're going to do this. We've devised a mathematical test. And if Bubba can answer this one question, we'll let him graduate. So Bubba, what's 3 plus 2? Bubba thought and thought. Finally, Bubba said, 5. And the audience immediately stood up and said, give Bubba another chance. Give Bubba another chance. All right. You know, we all know Bubba. I'm challenged today to challenge you to strive for academic excellence. You know, I have the privilege of teaching a number of our education classes, and I try to remind students that there's a lot that goes on in the classroom, but academics are important. And I don't know what you think of when you chose to come to this session. It may be because it was inside and you didn't have to go out into the wind, but I trust we can talk about some ideas. You know, excellence is defined as preeminence or distinction. And that's okay. That's kind of an okay definition. But the key that got me is that the antonym, Webster's Dictionary, lists inferiority as the antonym, the opposite. And I would challenge you to strive for something which is the opposite of inferiority. And we could all tell stories of schools and back when we were in school and teachers that did this and did that and did not do some things they should have done. But I want to challenge you to strive for academic excellence. Now, I don't know what you think when you think about striving for academic excellence, if you think about curriculum, and curriculum is important. And by the way, when I first started in Christian school, we went down to the public school textbook repository and bought our books because those were the only books that were available. So there are a lot of good Christian curricula which are available now. But the curriculum, I would contend, is not the most important aspect of this process called teaching. And maybe it's facilities, and some of you have a variety of different facilities. Maybe you have what you think is a great facility. Maybe you think a facility that needs some help. But it's not all about facility. It's not about curriculum. I think the key to good teaching is teachers. And for those of us who have been involved in traditional Christian education, that is an important part of the process. And you could all probably testify, I know I could give you a name, you could all probably testify of a teacher in your background that stretched you, caused you to learn things you never thought you could, allowed you the opportunity to do some things that you didn't think you could do. I've had the privilege for a number of years, in addition to teaching education classes, to teach some English grammar and some English composition. And it is a thrill because unfortunately, we have college students that have never written a research paper. And so in freshman composition, we teach them how, we just break it down, get the topics, narrow your topic, find the sources, read the sources, gather your notes, collect your notes, build your bibliography, step by step by step. And it just thrills me near the end of the semester when some of those students say, I did it. I didn't think I could, but I did it. And they don't realize how many more research papers they're going to write. But it's a thrill to stretch them. And I would contend that Christian schools need Christian teachers. And the only reason to teach in a Christian school, and we could all tell stories of the day when we said, what in the world am I doing here? Couldn't I be doing something? Maybe I should have stayed at Kmart or whatever. I worked at Kmart for part of a year, and I went to 3 semesters of college and got a great job offer from the government called a draft notice. Took 5 years off, and working at Kmart helped me realize you need to go back to school. There's got to be a better life than this. But we want to challenge students, and we want to be the kinds of teachers that stretch them. And I would contend that the key to being a successful teacher is to be under spiritual authority. And I want to talk to you today about spiritual authority. If you have your Bible, turn to Luke chapter 7, or I think it is on the handout. You can either follow along there or in the Bible, Luke chapter 7. Follow along as I read. The Bible says in Luke 7:1, now when he had ended all his sayings in the audience of the people, he entered into Capernaum. And a certain centurion's servant who was dear unto him was sick and ready to die. And when he heard of Jesus, he sent unto him the elders of the Jews, beseeching him that he would come and heal his servant. And when they came to Jesus, they besought him instantly, saying that he was worthy for whom he should do this. For he loveth our nation, and he hath built us a synagogue. Then Jesus went with them. And when he was now not far from the house, the centurion sent friends to him, saying unto him, Lord, trouble not thyself, for I am not worthy that thou shouldest enter under my roof. Wherefore neither thought I myself worthy to come unto thee. But say in a word, and my servant shall be healed. For I also am a man set under authority, having under me soldiers, and I say unto one, go, and he goeth, to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard these things, he marveled at him, and turned him about, and said unto the people that followed him, I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. And they that were sent, returning to the house, found the servant whole that had been sick. Hear the story of the Lord Jesus Christ and his healing and his ministry. But I want to teach us some ideas, and you most likely have studied these before, but just some ideas about spiritual authority. See if I can operate this. First of all, point number one on your outline, the source of spiritual authority is the Savior. As I was mentioning earlier, I think the only reason to teach in a Christian school is because God called you to. Obviously, that's the only reason to do anything. But in those difficult times when you're struggling, why am I here? What am I doing? These kids aren't listening. Mom and dad are chewing me out. You've got to be able to go back to the fact that God called you to teach. And you're there because God has called you and God has authorized you to be in that position. Letter A, authority is God-given to believers. Luke 10:19 tells us, behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Sometimes we misunderstand the difference between authority and power. Let me go ahead and give it to you. Letter B, authority is legal standing. It's backed up by the power of the one who gives it. Authority is legal standing that is backed up by the power of the one who gives it. I'm quite confident today that we could go out to Highway 14 and there could be a gentleman in the road stopping traffic. Now, it would probably work quite well for him if he were in a uniform wearing a badge. That's authority. He doesn't stop traffic because of his physical strength to hold back an 18-wheeler, you know, we know what would happen if he tried that. It's not an issue of power, it's an issue of authority. And you and I need authority in our classrooms. We need God-given authority. God wants us to have authority. God's plan is for Christians to have authority. Genesis 1:26 tells us, and God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. God's intention was for man to have authority. Now, obviously, we know that when sin entered the world, that all changed, and man lost his authority. But it's God's plan for Christians to have authority. Look back at Luke 7, in the passage we read. The centurion was a Roman who'd been sent to Judea to keep the peace. He'd been kind to the Jews. It says he'd helped them build a synagogue. He had faith. He was a man of faith. When his servant was sick, he came to Jesus and believed that Jesus could simply say a word and the servant would be healed. I would challenge you to realize in verse 9, it said, when Jesus heard these things, he marveled at him, talked about his faith. In modern terminology, the Lord Jesus Christ was impressed by this centurion and his faith. You know, that's the way God intends us to live our lives. Under God's authority, in authority, living a life of faith. Notice in verse 8, the centurion said, for I also am a man set under authority. What he was saying was, I know to the Lord Jesus, I know you operate the same way I operate. I think it's interesting he didn't say, I have authority. He said, I am a man set under authority. And we're going to talk about that a little more in just a moment. The source of spiritual authority is the Lord, a higher authority. Jesus came as a man. He laid aside his divine attributes. He did not rely on them. He did things in the power of the Spirit of God. And he's our example to follow. Matthew 28:18, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. I think it would be an interesting study. There are several places in Scripture where it talks about all power being given to Jesus. And I don't know if you've ever thought about that or struggled with it, because very clearly the Bible teaches us that he was the creator. And all things were made by him. Was not anything made that was made without him. But it says that here in Matthew 28, all power is given. I really contend that the Garden of Gethsemane is the key point where he said to God the Father, not my will, but thine be done. And I think power was given to him because he was under authority. And he teaches us a lot about authority in his relationship with God the Father. And I think we could learn a lot about that from that example. The centurion realized that. He said, just say in a word and my servant shall be healed. I would challenge Christian school teachers to realize they need God-given authority. But importantly, they cannot have authority, and you and I cannot have authority, if we're not under authority. The source of spiritual authority is the Savior. Letter C, authority was given to the Lord Jesus after the ascension. Authority was given unto him. 1 Peter 3:21-22. By the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who is gone into heaven, is on the right hand of God, angels and authorities and powers being made subject unto him. Ephesians 1:18, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church. The Lord Jesus Christ was given all authority. Just as a Roman centurion had authority by being subject under the authority over him, Jesus had authority because he was subject to and under the authority of God the Father. Christian school teachers today can have authority by being under the authority of the Word of God, under the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. The source of spiritual authority is the Savior. Secondly, The secret of spiritual authority is submission. Luke 7 verse 8 says, "For I also am a man set under authority." When a person is under authority, only then can he be over people in authority. Some people aren't given authority because they can't be trusted with it. I'm convinced of that. And you perhaps have had experience with a person who misused authority. We read about it in the newspapers all the time. But to have authority, one must be under authority. Consider the Roman centurion. Now, most of us realize the whole terminology centurion means he was a commanding officer of 100 men. He was given authority. Now, I would assume they had policies and procedures in that Roman army. And there in Judea, they were given guidelines to follow. Let's treat the people this way. Let's act this way. Let's do this. If this Roman centurion had said, "Well, that's your policy, that's your procedure, but I think I'll do it my own way," what do you suppose would have happened to a Roman centurion? Probably would have been executed. Something you'd like to do to your teacher? No. He obviously would have lost his authority. Let me give you another illustration. Consider the U.S. military. This gentleman back here, 27 years? 28. Thank you for your service. Navy? Well, praise the Lord. I spent 3 years in the Army, and they had enough of me, and I had enough of them. But I have a son who's a Navy chaplain and is now stationed at Camp Pendleton, assigned to the 1st Marines. And pray for him, because rumor has it, and these kinds of rumors come about, but he's supposed to go to Afghanistan in December, I think, probably for 6 months. But anyway, it's been interesting for me, and very obviously I spent 3 years in the Army. I understand military discipline, authorities, chain of command. Everybody in the military, my son was telling me this, everybody is rank conscious. And he says he's a lieutenant junior grade. And so when he's around lieutenant junior grades, lieutenants and ensigns, everybody's comfortable. But when those lieutenant commanders and captains show up, everybody changes. You know what I'm saying? Everybody, I guess I better not say everybody, anybody who's successful in the military stays under authority. And they know the whole authority structure. And they don't say to the captain, "I think I'll do it my own way." And you could probably tell us what would happen. It wouldn't be good. It's not a great career move, so to speak. But the authority is established well in the military. Consider your ministry. Some of you involved in Christian schools or churches, your church has an authority structure just like the military. And if your pastor has a staff meeting and gives you staff members some guidance about how we're going to do something, and you decide, "Well, I think pastor's a little off on this one. I think I'll do it my way." Pastor may revert back to the Roman centurion idea, or at least the U.S. military, but something will happen. You know that God didn't call you to change your pastor. He called you to submit to your pastor. I had an opportunity to counsel a young lady not too long ago, and it was basically, "This is the man for me, but my parents don't know it." And I tried to advise her, the Bible says, "Honor thy father and thy mother." And I finally came down to it, "I don't know your parents. I'm not asking you to trust your parents. I'm asking you to trust God." Because those parents are in that chain of command. And the issue is trusting God to know, and trusting that if God, in that situation, wanted the parents to know that this was the right young man, God could tell them that. God could take care of that. But authority is a very important principle. Every classroom teacher follows the same principles in their classroom. Those of you who teach elementary school, you probably have line leaders and door holders, and students love those jobs. I think we ought to use those in college, but they like to have a little authority, and you've probably observed some that abuse their authority, and they need to be doing what you've asked them to do, whatever the job duty, the job description is for that duty, they need to follow it. The key in each of these situations is staying under authority. You know, I think some people say it's a burden to be under authority. From time to time, I've known some college students that just thought it was terrible that a college had rules. And we try to have reasoning behind our rules, but just because you have 1,000 people in a fairly small area, you have to have a go to bed at this time, get up at this time, make sure you're here on time for class. You know, I guess students would like it if we had the policy that class will start whenever you want, but it wouldn't accomplish very much. Being under authority is not necessarily a bad thing. Psalm 119:54 says, "Thy statutes have been my songs in the house of my pilgrimage." When we are in submission, we are under authority, God's laws are a song or a delight in our lives. Now, if you were in the service this morning, we enjoyed a piano duet, Brother Hopkins and Dr. Zachary. I could go to this piano and make some noise, but it wouldn't be very pleasing. Dr. Zachary, if he were here, I would guess any of you could name any standard hymn and he could play an arrangement or two of it. You know why he's able to do that? He has submitted himself to the laws of piano playing. He has submitted under the authority, you know, there are rhythms and notes and things I don't even know about. But because he has chosen to spend his time to study, to learn, to submit, he makes beautiful music. I've never submitted to those things. I tried to play the French horn once. It was an embarrassing situation. But anyway, because of his submission to that authority, it's a beautiful result. And I really think that's what Psalm 119:54, "Thy statutes have been my songs in the house of my pilgrimage." Submission to authority brings delight, brings a song in our lives. God's laws never bring restraint, they bring release. God's laws aren't meant to hem us in, they're meant to give us power. Paul talked about the liberty of Christ, the liberty to do what we need to do in obedience to the Lord Jesus Christ. So submission, the secret to spiritual authority is submission. Next, I think this is letter D. Some people have no authority. Some people wonder, and you've probably heard this, of every time I pray, my prayers seem to bounce off the ceiling. I'm just not getting any answer to prayer. My question would be, are you in submission to the Word of God? Have you obeyed the Word of God? Are you doing what God wants you to do? Are you under authority so you can have authority? Sin has cut off God's ear and He will not hear their prayers because of their inability to obey the Lord. You know that normal Christian behavior ought to be that we pray and get answers? God's certainly capable of that. Whatever your request is, God is capable of answering that. But sometimes because of our lack of submission to the authority of the Word of God, we don't have that power. And God doesn't answer our prayer. You know, sometimes husbands, I know we've all heard the messages about submissive wives. And I would, for you husbands, I would contend that Ephesians 5:25 is just as important. Husbands, love your wives. But anyway, well, my wife just won't obey me. Are you under authority? A husband who would be disobeying God would not have authority over his family, because the key to authority is submission. Young people sometimes buck the authority of their parents, and then they wonder why they can't get their prayers answered. They keep going down forward and praying, but I just still have this same sin and I just cannot get victory. My challenge would be, what's your position on authority? Are you under authority? Letter E in your outline, you cannot be over if you refuse to be under. I think this is a very important principle, probably one of the most important things I'll say today. You cannot be over if you refuse to be under. Now, teaching is a position of responsibility. It is a position of authority. No matter what age group you teach, you are a God-given authority in those students' lives. And you want to have authority. You know, I try to tell our students, as they go for an interview for a job, a teaching position, somebody's going to want to know, can you teach? Can you control the classroom? They've got to be a controller of the learning environment. And sometimes it just doesn't work. They just won't listen to me. They won't obey me. The challenge is, are you under authority? Or maybe you disobeying something from the Word of God? And I think sometimes we get out of that line of authority and we lose our authority, because you cannot be over if you refuse to be under. I really think it's a mockery of God. We serve a God of authority. He has established principles, and we need to choose to be over. Excuse me, we need to choose to be under in order to be over. Third point, the strength of spiritual authority is in the Savior. The Roman centurion in Luke 7:8 said, "For I also am a man set under authority, having under me soldiers. I can say to one, go, and he goeth; to another, come, and he cometh; and to my servant, do this, and he doeth it." Literally, he was saying, I can boss people. I don't even have to move. They'll do the work for me. I really think that's the strength of authority. Because of the God-given authority you have, you don't have to exert yourself. Let the Lord carry the load and do the work. Now, I would challenge you to think about this for a moment. Do you want to accomplish great things in your own strength? It probably won't be a very long list. Won't be a very pretty picture. But do you want to be used by God to accomplish things? And by the way, it's not when I would challenge each of us to not want a time when somebody would say, didn't brother so-and-so do so well? Rather, our lives should be, isn't God good? And by the way, that's really what it's all about anyway. And to have biblical authority, spiritual authority, we've got to stay under authority. And then the Lord, and by the way, for those of you who are a little younger than some of us who are older, if you've not experienced it yet, there's going to come a time when you say to yourself, I can't do this. This difficult situation with this parent, this child, this situation, I can't do this. I'm convinced that the Lord says, got you right where I want you. Because do you want your life to be full of the things you've done or the miracles that God performed in your life because you stayed in submission to God's authority? And I would challenge each of us that I think we're probably all old enough to realize that's what it's all about, to bring honor and glory to the Lord, not to make a name for ourselves. Obviously, in our world today, it's all about making a name for yourself. But as Bible believers, we ought to be making a name for God, bringing glory and honor to Him, and allowing people to say, isn't God good? Didn't God show His power, show His authority through your life? And then you can have spiritual authority. And I would contend you'll be a better teacher, because you'll be right where God wants you to be. And you've all experienced this when you didn't think you could do something, and amazingly it worked out. Maybe you've had a meeting with a parent and you had something difficult to tell them and you stewed about it and, oh, it's going to be so hard, I have to tell them this. And then you've prayed about it and you get there and before you have a chance to say something, they tell you basically what you were going to tell them because the Lord already prepared their hearts. That's the kind of life we all want to live, where God is in control. And I would challenge you to remember, you cannot be over if you refuse to be under. All right, let's pray. Father, thank you again for the principles of spiritual authority you've given in our lives. Thank you for the privilege of serving you. I pray that each of us would yield our lives on a daily basis, yield our ministries, our class, our whatever we've got going on. I pray that we would yield to you to stay under your authority so that you might empower us, because we can do nothing without you, but we can do all things through Christ. Strengthen us through the power of your authority, we pray. Dismiss us now with your blessing, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.